From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Civil citations are a way for police to avoid arresting first-time juvenile offenders. Instead, a civil citation diverts young people into community service projects or other ways to make up for a petty crime. It's been an alternative in the state of Florida for a few years now, but a new bill seeks to make it a mandatory step for all eligible first-time offenders, taking the discretion out of the hands of local police officers. We'll talk with one local group lobbying in favor of the bill and talk with a youth justice scholar about the difference between arrest and a civil citation. Plus, women's flat track roller derby is on a roll in Southwest Florida. Our local team has hundreds of loyal fans, and this weekend we'll take on the Long Island Roller Rebels. It's a tough sport that requires brawn and finesse, and it leads to a kind of empowerment that many of the roller girls didn't even expect. We'll talk with team members of the Palm City Punishers about the sport that's a little bit theater and a whole lot of heart. But first, the news. Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Roller derby has been around since the 1930s, and today it's played by more than 1,200 amateur leagues worldwide. Today, bouts or matches are televised on ESPN, and the sport is even under consideration for the 2020 Olympics. Southwest Florida has its own league, the Fort Myer Derby Girls, who are kicking off their first home bout of the season this Sunday when they take on the Long Island Roller Rebels. Here to talk the strategy and athleticism of flat track roller derby and the blood, sweat, and tears of the game that go behind the punk rock outfits and clever names are two of the Palm City Punishers. That's the A team for the Fort Myers Derby Girls. Today we're speaking with Debbie Steinweg Medlock, aka Little Debbie Smack Cakes. Welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you, Julie.
I cannot love that name anymore. Also joining us from the Palm City Punishers is Kim Kibbe, aka Sunny Slaughter. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Do you have a question about roller derby in Southwest Florida, or are you curious about whether you have what it takes to be a derby girl? Call in and ask your questions and share your thoughts at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. Debbie, aka Little Debbie Smack Cakes. Some listeners may be familiar with roller derby. For others, they may only know of the iconic images of women on roller skates and helmets crashing into each other. Describe the sport for me just a little bit and how your team manages to win bouts, as they're called.
Well, the sport starts off, you've got five people from each team on the track at a time. You've got somebody who wears a cap with a star on the helmet. They score all your points. They're called a jammer. You have four blockers. One of the blockers is designated with a stripe on their cap. They're called a pivot. And the point of the game basics is to get your jammer through and block the other team's jammer. So the second pass that your jammer gets through, they score the points for every hip of the opposing team that they pass. So it gets very heated, very violent, because you're hitting people, you're trying to block people physically with any legal target zone. Obviously, there are penalties, much like in hockey. There sometimes are illegal blocks. But you're trying to be as aggressive as you can to hold back the other jammer so your jammer can score as many points as possible.
So how many times do you go around?
For 2 minutes. So, generally, it takes about 12 seconds for a jammer to circle the track once they're out. So as many times, it's very fast. It moves very fast. So that's why it's your goal to keep it slow and keep the other jammer back, because if you can get your jammer around, you're scoring. Games usually end up in the hundreds. The points are anywhere from the highest scoring games have been 700, but we usually range around 100 or 200 points.
So you do these 2 minute rounds, and how many of the 2 minute things do you do?
30 minutes, two 30-minute periods.
And there's a break in between?
Yeah. About 15-minute break, but you've got 30 seconds to reset between those 2-minute jams, so it's very fast-paced. You have to line up, you have to get your people ready, you have to be in position to block, because if you're not there and they blow the whistle, that jammer's going to get right through right from the start. So it's all about strategy, where you're going to line up, how you're going to line up, different strategies to block that person.
So what do you do?
I am a blocker.
So you're a blocker.
Mm-hmm.
So can you throw elbows? Can you pull people by their clothes?
You cannot. You can, but then you'll go to the penalty box and possibly be ejected from the game, which does happen. So,
yeah. and she's sitting here pointing at you like, uh-huh, that happens a lot. So Kim's like, yeah,
that happens. You get caught. I mean, I'm sure people do throw elbows and not get caught. You get a lot of times where people are like, my face. And, you know, if you don't
see
it.
Do you have the dramatics like soccer where people claim they got hit when they really didn't?
Yes.
Oh.
That's like, also illegal, too, though.
Like the Italian team?
If you flop. That's a penalty.
Yeah, the flop.
Yeah.
Italian soccer is famous for that.
There's no magic water in derby, though.
So, Kim, a.k.a. Sunny Slaughter, what are some of the terms that we need to know to talk about this sport? The ending jam, passing the star. What are some of these terminologies?
Well, we'll start with passing the star, which is basically if the jammer is just not succeeding, they are not getting out of the pack. They pass the star to the pivot, which is, as Debbie said, the individual with the stripe on their helmet. They can then take the star and they can begin making passes and obtaining points.
How do they get the star? They take the helmet off and change it?
No, they have – it's literally just a,
like a Velcro
piece of material that they put over their helmets. It's a stretchy material, just fits right on top of it. They're actually called panties. And they take it off and they can hand it over to the pivot. Now – there's strategy involved with that. Sometimes you don't have to give it to the pivot. And if the other team is distracted, that jammer gets out. You can't hide it. You can't withhold it from view from any of the refs or anyone. They have to know that you did take the star off of your head, and that assists jammer getting through.
Wow. So it doesn't sound like a very easy sport. Is it really athletic? I mean, how in shape do you have to be?
Fairly in shape. We definitely enjoy our good time. Play hard, we party hard at the same time, but you definitely have to have a severe level of athleticism as well as dedication.
And a competitive streak.
Oh, for sure. But definitely you have to be dedicated to this sport, and you have to be willing to put the time in, put your energy in. You have to work out outside of our hard-hitting practices. There are some, we're just dragging ourselves out of the rink. It's sometimes very tough, and it's very involved and very physically demanding.
So how often do you practice?
We practice 2 or 3 times a week.
Two or three times a week. For 2 hours.
Mm-hmm. And we have a scrimmage once a week as well. So
okay.
We do a full scrimmage.
How many people are on the team?
We have chartered now, 17, 20?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's about 18 right now.
18 chartered skaters. So that means, they're eligible for roster.
Oh, okay, so you have to become chartered. Do you have to pass a test or something to do that?
Oh, yes. You have to pass a minimums level test, which basically is stating you are safe enough and you know derby and you can play this sport with us.
And you can actually stand up on roller skates?
That's number one.
Well, we can't talk about roller derby without talking about the culture of the sport, mm-hmm. and the incredible eyeliner that sometimes happens and like being like a pinup and then the fun names. And tell me a little about where that culture comes from. Do you guys ever kind of look back into that?
I'm going to go to Debbie for this one. She's a little more old school than I am. She's
an OG. This is my 10th season with mm-hmm. roller derby. So I know when it started, we all had fishnets and tutus. We were all like adorable and ridiculous. And then as the sports evolved across the nation and the world, really, there's teams all over the world. It's become more athletic, but there's still some of the top skaters. There's a girl out in Denver, Scald Eagle, very famous. She always has her eagle face paint on. She plays out actually in Portland.
Her name is Scald Eagle?
Scald Eagle, and she's got her face paint. And there's a girl on Bay Area that paints her eye. I mean, there's some really intense face paint. It's very intimidating. But for the most part, people wear very athletic outfits because the sport evolved to just kind of skating fast in circles and hitting people really hard to being something where you had so much strategy and so much muscle and footwork, and that you had to be an athletic wear because there was no way you could
play in a tutu.
You could play in a tutu anymore. So,
I would think that would kind of get in the way. Maybe
I can imagine it would hinder. I don't think I was ever really part of that.
Yeah.
Well, I was looking at the pictures, and there are people wearing, like pantyhose and stuff, and tights, and maybe it could avoid a strawberry or something when you skid on the thing. Is that what that's for?
Yes, definitely. Like I will never skate in shorts. Some people do, but you get rink rash, you get bruises. There's lots of injuries in derby, so anything you can do with your gear as well as your outfits to keep that to a minimum is
I saw a thing circulating on Facebook of a guy that was making art out of roller derby bruises. Did you see that?
I did. It was pretty beautiful stuff.
They looked painful, but they kind of looked like, pictures of outer space, some of them with all the blue and purple. It was pretty.
Yeah, and I could see the fishnet lines, that they were wearing fishnets when they got their bruise. And I saw a few of those and I was like, yeah, I've had one of those. Oh, yeah, I've had that too.
How many injuries have you had?
I haven't had any severe injuries aside from the sprained ankle, sprained wrist, black eye, things like that, very minimum, mostly bruising. I know Debbie here has had
a few. What happened?
And about last season, I broke my ankle pretty severely. So I've got plates and screws and all that. I broke it and tore a ligament. I had a meniscus tear when I first started. a skater and I collided at practice, and I have stitches under my eye. I have a little scar there. But, you know, I've seen people with broken noses, broken arms, broken legs. It doesn't happen all the time, but it does. And, you know, you fall in love with the sport and you keep going. We had a girl who started who was a hairdresser, and all of her fingers got run over.
Oh, man.
And she ended up switching careers, and she's really happy, but she stayed with Derby for a long time after. So
she let go of the hairdressing.
She let go of the hairdressing for Derby. You do amazing things for Derby.
So wow, it sounds kind of like it's almost addictive. Tell me how you got your name, Little Debbie Smackcakes.
Well, there was a girl that used to skate with us named the Alexorcist. She is also a radio personality out in Utah, and we were kind of throwing names about and thought it would be really fun to pick that name because I could throw snack cakes out to the crowd.
So you go out at the beginning when you're introduced?
Yeah.
Now, do they do like a big kind of World Wrestling Federation type introduction and have everybody come out as they're being introduced?
When we're at home, we do. When we're away, we don't as much. But when we're at home, we introduce ourselves individually and go
around. You don't want to throw it in their face how cool you are and stuff.
No.
Right?
No. When you're away, it's like, you know, it's more for our home fans to be really excited. You know, we travel all around the country. And when you're at those games that are far away, you're not. We're not as much bravado. But we have a pretty cool intro. So if you come to our game, you'll definitely have fun checking it out.
What is the intro? You have a song?
Right now, our song is Crazy Train by Ozzy Osbourne.
So that's like the big theme song when you come in.
Yep, that's our All Aboard.
All Aboard. We are talking about roller derby in Southwest Florida. Are you curious about whether you have what it takes to be a derby girl? Give us a call and ask your questions and share your thoughts at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK on Facebook. We're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So where do you guys have your bouts?
We play at Bamboozle's Skating and Event Center on Andrea Lane over in South Fort Myers.
Okay.
And we've been there since our start. That's also where we do all our training. We train new girls Saturday mornings, 8 to 10. So anybody that's interested can always just pop in on a Saturday and watch. We always welcome
8 to 10 in the morning?
8 to 10 in the morning. Yeah. I know it's early Saturday
morning. Like that's early on a Saturday. But, I mean, what kind of people are coming to be derby girls? I mean, who are some of the people that are on your team? People
there
that are up at 8 a.m. obviously on a Saturday morning.
Yeah, like I said, dedication.
And you have some professional people. I mean,
it's everyone. You know, we have teachers is probably the most prevalent career choice in roller derby. We have people anywhere from working in hospitality. We have people who work in doctor's offices. We have people in retail. We have people really of all walks of life, backgrounds, professions. It doesn't really require a specific person to fill this type of cookie cutter position. You just bring who you are and you bring your personality and we'll take you for who you are and just come play derby with us.
You know, when you think about it, you know, when just totally as an outsider, you think about somebody that's probably, you know, a single person that's kind of an alternative and kind of – but it's a school teacher, hairdresser. I'm just regular.
And there's some very conservative people that play roller derby. I mean, it's a mix across the board. We have a neonatal nurse. We have people that are just all over. And it's really people that want something that – is athletic and challenging, that want that teamwork and camaraderie. I mean, we all come from very different backgrounds, but as far as being a team together, we all find common ground with derby and our passion for derby and really, really get along.
Tell me a little bit about the empowerment of being a woman, going out there, getting cheered on by loyal fans, and then just letting it rip on the rink. How does that make you feel, like, as a woman going out there?
I mean, it's a powerful feeling, and it plays into the addiction, and it's part of, I think, why we do what we do. We have a love for the sport, and then when we see the support we receive from our friends and family, and then we get fans, you know, people that we become acquainted with and become friends with as fans, it's a really great feeling, and we can really reach a lot of different people, and we enjoy what we do for the community and the charities that get involved with us as well. So it's an empowering feeling, and it's a good feeling. I think people really enjoy what we're doing.
Tell me about your fan base. Who are the people that go to this?
Everyone.
Such a mix.
Yeah, it's really hard to say.
There's a lot of older people that remember roller derby, the onset when it was like the Brooklyn Bombers. We hear a lot. We've met original roller derby players from like the 40s and 50s, and so we've got a older fan base, but then we've got a lot of young people who want something. And it's great family friendly. Like, we both have children. they've grown up around the Derby. It's great. Her daughter gets to see how empowering it is for women, and it's instilled confidence in our kids. But it's also family friendly. So if you're looking for something to do on a Sunday night, we get a lot of families out because something you can see, the kids can run around and play. And it's also, like I said, especially for young girls, very empowering to watch.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We actually sign autographs. We'll get several young girls that come up to us with programs and they ask for our autograph after watching a game and at halftime. So we get people all over, and it really doesn't matter if you want to come watch and be a fan.
How cool is that? How does it feel, though, when you have a little girl coming up and asking for an autograph?
It's absolutely adorable, I have to admit. It's good, and I hope they carry that kind of, you know, that feeling with them. I hope they remember years from now when they think about women empowerment, that's what they think about. They think about all these other women that they've met in their lives and who inspires them. And I mean, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself and over my head, but I think it's a really cool thing to think about that we're inspiring young girls.
Yeah, you got to inspire yourself too, because I mean, did you know how to skate before you even started doing roller derby? Were you always a skater?
Lord, no. I had no idea how to skate when I first started. I fell and bruised my tailbone on my first practice at Saturday morning, 8 a.m. I had no idea. And it's something that I wanted to do, and I set my mind to it, and I definitely accomplished my goal. And I hope my daughter sees that someday. She doesn't understand it now, but I hope one day she looks back and find some inspiration from it.
So the Fort Myers Derby Girls are part of a nationally ranked team through the Women's Flat Track Roller Derby Association, ranked 129 out of nearly 400 members. So that's pretty good. You're working your way up there. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's an international ranking as well. So it's all over the world.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So do international teams ever come here?
Yes. Oh, yeah. We played Rainy City, which is – they're in the top 20. We played them from England, mm-hmm. from Manchester last year.
Mm-hmm. We played Callio.
Mm-hmm. They're done. What, Sweden?
Finland.
Helsinki, Finland, yeah.
Yeah, the Callio.
Are they
Rebel
different?
Rainbow.
Do they play different?
They're strong. Yeah. They're a strong group of people, let me tell you. it's like playing Vikings, real-life Vikings on roller skates.
Well, yeah, Finland.
They have this level of athleticism that we would only wish to acquire, but it's amazing. It's amazing to play against these kind of teams from all over the world.
That's
incredible.
That's pretty cool. So that's pretty good. It's the top third of all the leagues around the world. So mm-hmm. you're doing pretty good. So anyone can join up and become a Fort Myers Derby girl.
Oh, yeah.
Like, for real.
And I'm 42, so yeah. You don't have to be.
We get that
20.
A lot. People think, I'm too old. And it's like, well, no.
I kind of thought that, too. I'm sitting here going, my knees are trash, so I'm not sure if that's a good idea. And it's four, they're called quads, right? So it's mm-hmm. like normal two in the front, two in the back mm-hmm. wheels
quad
on
skates.
Your.
Yep.
And so it's no inlines.
Nope.
Yeah. Does anybody do derby and inline skates?
No, it's not allowed.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
It's part of the rules. We do have – there are some refs that used to wear inlines. I haven't seen one in a really long time. So some of the officials – and that's something else you can do. If you're like, look, I love to skate. I love being part of a team. I took a year or two off and I was an official for a while. You can be a skating or non-skating official and learn the rules and become part of the group and – really get to travel with the team and do things with the team, but maybe not be a skater if you're not sure you want to do that.
So, like, yeah, and you're asking for different kinds of volunteers. What kind of people do you guys need to work with your team? I mean, what kind of assistance do you need outside of additional team members? It seems like you got your team pretty much intact first bout coming up this weekend, but what kind of other peripheral help could you guys use?
Well, I mean, we always love volunteers, especially people that want a hobby where they can do statistics or work with our non-skating officials because you have to have really smart people to take the numbers, get stuff sent in. And a lot of times we lose our officials to ending up officiating on skates eventually or skating. So we'll train people while they're training and then they kind of move up. So we have some non-skating officials that have been with us for years, but we're always looking for volunteers that way. We also partner with charities for every game. So this season's mostly full, but next season, if there are any charities that want to reach out and see how we can be their partner, that's always something we're doing. We will always take sponsors, even if they want to just come sponsor one game.
And of course, you'll always take more fans.
And we always love people to come watch, you know, definitely. You know, it's only really not nearly as fun without the excitement of the people cheering and getting into it and what you can give back.
So have you heard anything about the Derby going to the Olympics possibly in 2020? Do you think you're going to be going for that?
I think there are girls on our team that have played on the Team USA. They're since transferred to other leagues and kind of moved up and are in top 10 leagues in the country. But we have skaters that have tried out for Team USA. So I could see there's a few skaters on our team that are pretty awesome and pretty dedicated.
Do you think that maybe going into the Olympics would take any of the punk rock edge off of it?
I think that girls have kind of put their own mix on it. I do think it's gotten a little bit more unified and a little bit less all over with the punk rock and edge to it like it had in Austin when it first revived. But I do think there's always skaters that bring the counterculture. And it's not about even the punk rock look. It's about that welcoming, all-inclusive feeling that Derby brings that some other sports don't bring. We have transgender skaters even on the national level. We're very passionate about welcoming every body type. We have girls that are skinny and, you know, and girls that are big, even on the national level, and, you know, just your average skater. So it's empowering for every body type, and that's what Derby brings that some sports don't, is you can be successful. It's about being fit, not about fitting a body stereotype.
And then I'm thinking about the athleticism. Is it harder to be on a flat track than the banked tracks? Because I'm thinking if I got going real fast and you hit a bank, it might help you not slide all the way out. No?
I don't actually don't have any bank track experience. It's all flat track.
Yeah?
It's just different.
Yeah, it's just
Two, like, such different things. Like, the style that you skate on a bank track. There's the only bank track in Florida is up in Tampa, just a little bit north of here. And it's more – it's just a different feel. Like, the centrifugal force, you have to skate a little different. You have to work a lot harder with your blocking and positioning, but it is in some ways easier for the jammers to get speed. Yeah. So there are things that are easier about it and things that are more difficult.
Yeah. So it's a huge commitment to be a Derby girl. As you said, you practice a few times a week, but some of the women we've spoken to say that the reason that they do it is for the community of the team. Can you tell me a little more about that kind of community and the camaraderie?
I think Debbie really the nail on the head with that one. We are a very welcoming community, and like she said, different people, different body types, different backgrounds, and it becomes
it's your family.
Yeah, it really does. We'd really go to bat for one another, you know, regardless on or off the track, even in personal lives. You know, we have started to become each other's families. You know, you spend holidays together. You literally become a family, and that is something I don't think people realize, you know, from the outside looking in. Most sports don't have that. You don't have that type of camaraderie. You have a team and you go home at the end of the day.
Well, and you pick each other up when you get knocked over and
bruised. Oh, definitely. And we defend. We literally defend one another, and we help each other on the track as well, on and off. So it's something that I think is really unique to the sport. And I think our team especially, we've grown to be a very close team from my experience with other teams. We're a very good team together.
Well, I want to thank you guys both for coming in, and I want to wish you the best of luck in your upcoming season. Debbie Steinwig Medlock, a.k.a. Little Debbie Smack Cakes, and Kim Kibbe, a.k.a. Sunny Slaughter. Make sure to go check them out as they take on the girls from Long Island. Our show today was produced by Matthew Smith and directed by Richard Chin Kui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.